So we begin with this reading from the first book of Samuel this morning. As I read over this, feeling led to go here, I wrestled with this quite a bit. Coming from the Old Testament, there's a lot here in these stories in the Old Testament that we can apply in our own lives. What I have really enjoyed about studying the Bible, learning from the Bible over the years is at particular times in my own personal life, I can find myself within this greater story of God's grace in His chosen people. Some days it seems like I'm Job and I'm struggling with certain things, and the next time it might be I feel like Paul or I feel like Timothy. But nonetheless, we can find truth in the Scriptures that we can apply to our lives, knowing that God will bless us as He did the people of faith then. It's always interesting to see how people deal differently with their problems, whether it be financial problems, physical problems, mental problems, age-related problems, maybe a scary diagnosis from a doctor, marital problems, family problems, addictions, whatever might be the case. It's always interesting to see how people are dealing with them and how they're wrestling with them, because how we deal with our problems directly affects the outcome. We say we trust God to provide all things and to help us through all things. But on the other hand, sometimes we aren't responsive to what God's doing along the way to provide for us. And as a result, in many cases, because people feel like God has forgotten them and walked away from them, they get angry with God. And unfortunately, that is completely opposite of how we should respond in times of difficulty in our lives. We find an example here in 1 Samuel giving us the history of Samuel, who was the last of the judges of Israel. This particular scripture takes place at a crucial time between the time of the judges in Israel and the first king, who was Saul. Samuel comes on the scene, and we see some awesome things that God does here with His people throughout these books of 1 and 2 Samuel. It tells us that there was this man whose name was Elkanah, actually. Elkanah was his name, and he had two wives. One was Peninnah, and the other was Hannah. We learned that in reading year after year, this man Elkanah went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. That was where they were worshiping at the time. That's where the Ark of the Covenant had been taken. So they went there, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. And whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb, because Hannah had no children. Now, first of all, we have to understand, in this culture, not having children was a disgrace, so to speak. If a woman did not have children, it was seen that the woman was a wicked woman for whatever reason, and God had chosen not to give her children. Here was Hannah without any children. She would have no one to take care of her as she got older, or if Elkanah passed away, she would not receive any of what belonged to his family. You see, because she had no children, especially no sons. And really, we don't know a whole lot about Hannah. We see she had a husband, but she had no children. And we see that because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year, because whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. So we see that Hannah had a husband, but she didn't have any children. We see that she was committed to the Lord, because she would go year after year with her husband to worship the Lord, which was not actually a requirement for the women to go, but it was for the men. But she went along with her husband, supporting her husband, and going to worship the Lord along with her husband. So we see she was committed to the Lord. Let's see. She had no children, but she wasn't bitter towards the Lord. She wasn't taking it out on the Lord like so many today in our culture are doing by thinking because God hasn't really blessed them with $1 million and all their worldly desires, they quit coming to church and quit worshiping the Lord because they believe the Lord either doesn't love them or has forgotten them. Not so with Hannah. She kept going year after year to worship the Lord despite the fact that she had no children. She was not bitter towards the Lord. And we see that Elkanah was a man of faith as he was committed to his obligations to go to worship the Lord year after year. There were three main festivals that they were required to go to. He would go because he was committed to his obligations. He was also committed and compassionate towards his wife Hannah. He would give her a double portion of the meat because he had compassion on her. He felt sorry for her. But as we read on, it tells us that Hannah was provoked and irritated by Peninnah. And she wept and wouldn't eat. And she was downhearted. The story tells us, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. And in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Now, even though Hannah was not angry at the Lord or bitter towards the Lord, she was bitter in her soul. You see, have you ever been bitter in your soul? Like there was a sourness deep down inside you because of some problem or some issue in life that you're dealing with. And it just seems like God's not answering your prayer, like it's just not happening. You're doing what you think is right. You're worshiping the Lord. You're faithful to the Lord. You're praying to the Lord, but you're sort of bitter down in your soul. Hannah didn't become bitter against God. She was bitter down in her soul, it tells us in these verses. And it tells us in the bitterness of her soul, she made a vow and she prayed to the Lord. O Lord Almighty, if you'll only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, I'll give him to the Lord for all the days of his life and no razor will ever be used on his head. Talking about a Nazarite vow where a person who would take a Nazarite vow would not drink wine, would not shave their hair, or would not touch the dead. But it was only for a period of maybe weeks or months that they would do this. Hannah's saying, no, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him to you and give him to you, and he'll take this Nazarite vow for the rest of his life. In her bitterness, she prayed to God. When we talk about being bitter in our souls, Job was bitter in his soul. To read the story of Job. I loathe my very life, therefore I'll give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. In another place, Job says, one man dies in full vigor, completely secure and at ease, his body's well nourished and his bones rich with marrow, and another man dies in bitterness of soul, never having enjoyed anything good. Job was bitter in soul also. His spirit was in anguish. Isaiah speaks about the bitterness of the soul. What can I say? He has spoken to me and he himself has done this. I'll walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things men live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. This was Hezekiah speaking. If you remember Hezekiah, the Lord had spoken through the prophets that he was going to die, King Hezekiah. So he prayed to the Lord. Prayed to the Lord. O Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully with a wholehearted devotion and done what is good in your eyes. And he wept bitterly before the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord says. I'll add 15 years to your life, and I'll deliver you and the city from the king of Assyria. So what did Hezekiah do? He says, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered anguish. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered anguish. Jeremiah, the great prophet, says, cursed be the day I was born. He was persecuted. He went to the people and told them how they had turned from God and they were going to suffer, and how they were suffering because they had turned from the Lord. And he was persecuted harshly by his own people. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame? So, you know, folks, if you feel that way, you're not the first person to feel that way. A bitterness in soul, a deep down sourness inside, that life isn't going well, that something has come into your life that you're dealing with that's just overwhelming you. Hannah did three things. First, she prayed. Second, she made a vow. She was so desperate at this point. Year after year, she had gone up to worship with her husband. Year after year, she was so desperate that she vowed to give up her greatest blessing to the Lord. What do you think about that? She was so in dire need of being blessed by the Lord that she was willing to give up her greatest blessing, a child. She wasn't bargaining with God. You don't bargain with God. She was making a vow to God. She prayed. She made a vow. You see, she wasn't bitter at God, even though she was bitter deep down inside. She kept on praying to the Lord. Eli saw her and he thought she was drunk. He saw her lips moving, but there was no voice coming out. She said, "It's not so. I'm a woman who's deeply troubled." Has anybody here ever been deeply troubled? To a point where you couldn't move forward? You just felt sick to your stomach? You didn't want to eat? You were struggling with something? Maybe you were scared? Maybe you were worried? Maybe you were anxious? "I'm deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli said to her, "Go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him." You see, Hannah prayed. She made a vow to God to give up her greatest blessings. And she poured out her soul. She poured out her soul. I think sometimes herein lies a lot of unanswered prayer. When we go to the Lord with a laundry list, we go to the Lord with our worldly motives and our itinerary and our plan of how we think it should be done and what should be done, rather than going to the Lord and just pouring out our souls to the Lord, weeping bitterly in the presence of Almighty God because we're in such anguish over what we're dealing with, rather than laying out a list, "Lord, here's what I want you to do, and here's how I want you to do it," just literally going to the Lord and saying, "Lord, remember me. I'm in such great anguish. I'm struggling with this, and I can't change it. I can't do anything about it. I'm powerless, Lord." And what happened? Something changed. She said to Eli, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." She went her way, and now she ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. What changed about the situation? Something drastically changed. She had been praying to the Lord year after year after year. She was committed to the Lord and praying and worshiping the Lord. And she spoke with the priest, poured out her soul to God. And her being, her soul was changed because she was no longer sad. I don't want to emphasize this any more than I probably should. But there's a great blessing that comes with not only pouring your heart out to the Lord, but coming to the minister or the priest or the pastor. She was pouring out her heart to the Lord, and Eli saw that something was wrong. And so oftentimes, it's so evident that something's wrong in a person's life and they won't tell anybody about it. It's so bottled up inside them that they're like a bottle of Pepsi or a can of Coke that's been shaken up and ready to explode. Well, that only ends up in disaster. It only ends up in disaster. There's a great blessing in going and speaking with someone who you trust spiritually, that can help guide you, but encourage you, because that's what Eli did. At first, he was assuming it was one thing, and she said, no, that's not what it is. Here's what it is. And what did he do? Rather than rebuking her or saying bad things about her, he encouraged her. And through her persistent prayer and the encouragement of Eli, her whole demeanor was changed. She was no longer downcast. So early the next morning, they arose, and what did they do? They worshipped before the Lord, and then they went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and we know that they had done this before, but he lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Now, I want you to understand, this isn't something to say that God had forgotten about her and he was off doing something else. Also, oh, that's right, back to Hannah now. That's not what this word implies. In the ancient Hebrew text, this word remember implies that he recognized something about Hannah, that something impacted God, if we can impact God at all, that he recognized in her that completely changed her life. The Lord remembered her, so in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son and named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Samuel sounds like the Hebrew word for heard of God. Something changed along the way. The Lord recognized and honored her. You know, when we remember somebody, we remember what they did and we honor them for their services. The Lord wasn't recognizing her works. Understand, that's not what this is talking about. Even though God does recognize our works, he's not recognizing her works in the sense that her works are what made the difference. It was her faith in God year after year after year after year after year. Never turning bitter, never turning against the Lord, year after year, praying to the Lord, pouring out her heart to the Lord, and something changed, and it was God's grace came in and took over. God honored her faith. Faith honors God and God honors her faith. And when God honored her faith, we see that Hannah was completely changed. This is what we call grace. This is what we call grace. We're saved by grace through faith in God. Hannah, year after year, had faith in God, worshiped God, prayed to God, poured out her soul to God, and the Lord's grace gave her peace and providence. Anxiety was removed and prayer was answered. It took some time, and she could have become bitter at God, been angry at God, quit going to worship the Lord with her husband, because in her mind she could have adopted the mindset that God has forgotten me and God no longer loves me. But God honored her faith. He didn't forget her. He won't forget you. He hasn't forgotten you. He never has and he never will. But we, in our times of struggle, in our difficulties, whether it's year after year, we have to stay faithful to God, because the scriptures show us that if we remain faithful to God, that His grace, is eventually going to win the day. And we're going to find peace along the way and providence in the end. What did Hezekiah say? It was for good that I suffered misery. It was for the Lord's good that I suffered misery. And I know that's hard to grasp when we're in the depths of those problems. It's hard to grasp when we're sitting there in that room in the hospital with foreign fluids being pumped into our bodies to kill the destructive cells that are there. It's hard to have this kind of attitude when our checkbooks are empty. You see, when we're having problems in our marriage, when our family issues are beyond what we can control, or we're addicted to something that we just can't seem to find our way out of. It's a struggle. It's a journey. But I want to tell you, if we remain faithful to the Lord, the Scriptures show us that He honors our faith. And as a result of this, in conclusion, Hannah's faith reflected in her attitude and actions. She found peace in her heart and a child in her womb. She found peace in her heart. She's no longer bitter. She found peace in her heart and a child in her womb. That's pretty awesome. That's something only God can do. You see. Just one more reference really quickly from 1 Peter chapter 5. The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. You see, this is the whole thing in a nutshell about trusting in the Lord with all our heart and leaning not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging Him. And He'll guard our hearts, guide our paths. And that's what Hannah did. She couldn't understand why. She probably struggled. She probably was hard on herself. Everybody else was hard on her. But she still trusted in the Lord with all her heart. Even though she didn't understand, she leaned on the Lord year after year after year after year after year. And the Lord came through with her. And as a result of her faith, her attitude and her actions were changed, and she found that peace that she desired. And we will too. And she found a child in her womb. Now that can be a lot of things for a lot of us this morning. But the Scriptures show us, and we're going to see as the story unfolds before us, how God uses the faith of Hannah to completely direct the future of His chosen people. It's really awesome how God does this. Through faith, we're saved. Let's pray.